Welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. Please head over to our website, bethelbrandon.ca, to figure out how we can best serve.
We're going to take some time this morning and speak. And when we went through that season that started with a C that we don't like to mention anymore, I did devotionals on internet through the email that were a little short, three paragraph kind of things. And the whole thing God laid in my heart was just one word. How much difference one word could really make in our hearts and in our lives and in our church and in our city if we plugged it in and it became a part of who we were, our very core being. So there was a bunch of words that I've gone through this morning. I'm going to take one of those words and I've made them into a little bit more of a message and a challenge this morning. And the word this morning that we're going to look at is hope. And the whole idea that God put in my heart, can you turn this down just a little bit, Jerry? Not much, but it's just kind of ringing in my ears. The whole idea was if we could take that word and hope, and even the people that are here this morning, you are full of hope, we could just say amen, done, gone. Some of the words I've spoken on are forgiven. If we could take our city and that one word, everyone who is guilty, who is shameful, who is broken, is hurting, could know that they are forgiven and know it in their heart and their spirit. And I can't give someone hope. I can encourage you, but it's the Holy Spirit that will give you hope this morning. So we're going to start off in Romans and kind of jump around a little bit more, that we're not sticking to the book of John this morning. So when Pastor Mike gets back next week, I think he'll be back into the book of John. But Romans, the main theme is Jesus Christ, our righteousness. And it speaks of the fact that we're trapped in sin, brokenness, hurting, pain. We try our hardest to do things. It says, you know, we try to live by the law, but we try to live by the law and we can't quite do it. We can't quite be successful. And then Jesus comes along and he gives you a new status, a new family, and a new hope, and a new future. And when God comes in and gives you a new creation, there's something inside of you that becomes brand new. And you're like, oh, amazing, it's great. And I always think of it in traffic regulation where it's speeding. If I'm doing, how many people here have ever done 101 on the trans, or I guess not anymore on the Trans-Canada, 111 on the Trans-Canada? You have broken the law, right? Usually there's a grace period that they'll give you in there, but you have broken the law. And the Romans talks about, you know, all of us are guilty, and you're guilty of the entire law when you break the law. And yet the Spirit of God comes into our hearts and gives us life. And the best illustration that I think I've used once before when we were speaking outside is when you're driving with that speed limit, you're always like trying to slow down. And you're just over and you're, oh, I want to go faster. I want to go. And the law is sitting there. You could say, well, we need to set up more signs. Let's make more laws, right? Let's make speed bumps everywhere to slow people down and do more laws. But then if you take that same person and put them in the Indianapolis 500 and say, okay, there's no speed limit. Give her all you got. You find they're slowing down on purpose, right? They're kind of like, oh boy, this is good, but I better hold on. And Galatians 5 tells us, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And when the Spirit of God gets in your heart and you start living the way God has called you to live, there's no slowing you down. There's no law on stop being generous. Quit being loving. Quit being patient. I'm so tired of you being patient with me all the time. It never happens, right? And God puts those things in our hearts and God lets us live out and says, okay, now go live it. And live it to the full extent, as hard as you can. Go as hard as you can. My mouth always gets very dry when I speak, so I'll have to drink a little bit more here and there. I'm going to get you guys to help me out this morning as well. And the first verse that we're going to read is found in Romans 8:24. And can we, I know we don't usually do this in our tradition or whatever, but so it's going to be terrible, but we're going to try it anyways. All the scriptures that come up on here, I'm going to get us to read them together. So we're going to give it our best shot. And most of them aren't long, so it will be a short period of painfulness. So here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1, read. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Hope. If you've seen it, it's not hope. If you have it, it's not hope. What I'm speaking on this morning is something that you are looking to, forward to. It's something that you are saying, I still have hope for that. I'm grasping. There's a song that I love by Carolyn Arenz. It says, I was 3 feet old and I was reaching for heaven and the cookie jar. couldn't quite reach it, and I was reaching and I was going. And maybe you've lost hope this morning, and you need to have hope instilled in you. And what is that hope spoken into the middle of? It's spoken into the middle of life. And this is the only verse I don't have on here, but I'm going to read around the context of that. Romans 8, 24, starting at verse 22, says this. It says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And I'm hoping this morning, I never even planned that one. I'm hoping this morning that at some point the Spirit of God, not necessarily me speaking, but will take this message and something you've been hoping for or someplace where you've maybe lost hope, that hope will spark and there'll be a glimmer of hope. God, that could be possible. I'm hoping for that. I don't see it, but it's very real in who I am and who I've been called to be. Hope is an expectation and a desire of a certain thing to happen. Very simply, we hope for warmer weather, we hope for colder weather. We hope to see our grandchildren, we hope to meet that special person. There's things out there that we're hoping for. One person broke it down into four pillars and said, healthy living, we hope for physical health, right? That's many of us would hope for not getting sick. And they break it down into monetary security. We hope for financial success, that we don't live in poverty. Educational success. We hope to be intellectually at least smart enough to communicate with our friends and our boss, right? We don't want to be the one who's just kind of like, I don't get it. I don't get anything. I just don't understand. We hope for strong families, relational context. We hope for getting along with your parents, getting along with your family, getting along with your in-laws, getting along with everything to go smoothly. And maybe there's something this morning that you just need to say, God, I'm going to continue to hope for that relationship. What if you have no hope? No hope leads to desperation, leads to depression. It leads to nothing will ever change. And there's probably some of us that are kind of starting to live the status quo. And we get to the place where we're like, I'm just happy with the way it is. I'm not going to keep looking for something different or something new. All is lost. Everything is gone. They tell the story of No Hope Carter. And it's just a story, but he had a debilitating brain disease. And in the end of his life, he was coming to the end and his brain was starting to shut down. His body was shutting down. There was no cure for it, anything. And they said in the last 2 weeks of his survival here on earth, he paced back and forth in his room just saying, no hope. No hope. No hope. And maybe you're here this morning and you're at that place where you're, God, there's no hope. Maybe you're watching online, or maybe you're watching this at a future date, and you're saying, there's no hope. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I pray that as we speak this morning, as I speak, God will use my voice and the scripture that we're going to read to challenge you to say, God, inside of me, there's a hope. I don't see it. God, it's not there, but God, in here, there's something burning. That's saying, God, there's hope. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to something else. We look back to Isaiah, the prophet, and his name means Jehovah saves. While speaking hope in his present situation, which was in the middle of the Babylonian exile, they had all been uprooted. If all of us lived in Brandon and we were all conquered and taken over by Portage La Prairie, as if that would happen. And all of us had to leave our houses behind. This church was destroyed, and they took us to Portage, and we had to live in Portage, Manitoba, and we were living there. And in the middle of that, Isaiah's speaking, there's hope. There's a future. There's something coming ahead. There's something that we can look forward to. And this next verse, if we can read this, in the middle of all that, he says this. So 3, 2, 1, read. But those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength, soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Those who hope in the Lord, you can trust, you can hope, you can say, God, I put my trust in you, I put my hope in you. I look forward to what could take place, what is going to happen. And he gives three things. And for me, I learn a lot from the practical. I just see God in the realm of nature and the world that we live in, and you talk about things sometimes, and you're like, oh, that kind of makes sense, whatever, right? So I'm going to give you a few practical things along with this, and the first one is there, the renew their strength. And for me, I left it back there behind, but anyone who has a cell phone, is there a day that you miss plugging it in? For most of us, probably no. Sometimes I plug mine in 2 or 3 times during a day because I have an old phone and it battery dies a little faster than a new one, right? And I renew the strength in that phone. And for each and every one of us, we come to a place where we say, God, I just need to renew. And how can we do that? We can daily get together with God, just spend some time and say, God, whether it's in it, we talked about it on Thursday night a little bit. Some people have a very structured every morning, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock or whatever. I always meet with you. I kind of sit and eat breakfast in a certain chair and try to think of it every morning of just, you know, God, bless this day. God, these are the things that I've got ahead of me, and just take that time. I have a scripture that comes to my email that I read every day if I don't get into reading something else from the Bible, and I don't read it for a sermon or anything. I just read it for that devotional, right? Count your blessings. Seize the moment of the day. If something is going well, just say, God, I'm just going to enjoy this moment. God, I'm going to enjoy the sunshine. God, I'm going to enjoy the fact that this person called me. The second one is to soar on wings like eagles. We need to get a different viewpoint. We need to look from it. If you're practically, for me, if you're in bumper-to-bumper traffic and everybody's stopped and not going anywhere, it can be very frustrating, right? Because all you can see is the bumper of the guy in front of you. He can see the bumper of the guy in front of him. But if you're in a helicopter flying over top, you can see the whole situation. You're like, oh, that makes sense. Whereas down in bumper-to-bumper traffic, you can't see and you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's coming ahead. Don't get bogged down. Disconnect from the present. Step back, see the big picture. Most of you will remember the pastor that was here before I was in the office that I was in, and he left me a few things behind, and he was a bit of a jokester, so don't take this too seriously if he ever quoted this to you or if I'm quoting it this morning, but there's a couple things he left behind that I kept in my office. One is a big picture of Jesus steering the boat, but the other two are one that sits up that I can look at my desk, and it says, it's really hard to soar with eagles when you work with turkeys. And the other one's on the back of the door. So my door is closed most of the time, but if you come in my office and close the door and look at the back, it says on there in big letters, everyone brings joy to this office. And then it says, some when they come, others when they leave. And if you're going to soar with eagles, there's people that call you up, and there's people that tear you down. And I'm not one that says we need to avoid one or the other, but there's moments where you need to soar. And you need those people that are going to pull you up. You need those people that are going to bring you to a place. And Jesus himself left heaven, came to this earth. And if you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's many times where he's soaring with people, right? And yet he gets to a place of solitude, a place of quiet. And he gets into that place and he says, God, I need your perspective again. I just spent the day with 5,000 people arguing about whether do we have enough food or don't have enough food or whatever. I did a miracle for them, and now they want more food, they want more bread, they want more this. God, what's the big picture again? What's it all about? He says, you know what? It's about the salvation of the world. And sometimes you need to just get away from the grind, and you need to find that place where you can soar once again with heavenly places and let God speak into your life and renew your life and renew it as you soar. And then he says to run and not grow weary. To be exhausted. There's those days you come home from work, right? And you're like, sorry, kids. Sorry, I'm just, give me 15 minutes. I think everybody's probably said that at some point in their life. If you're a parent and you've had a stressful day at work, and you come home and you're like, I just need 15 minutes. Just give me 15 minutes. I'm going to my room, closing the door. I'm going to lay down on the bed. I'll come out after that, and we'll talk. How was your day and that kind of stuff? But I need those 15 minutes. How do you run and not grow weary? Practical advice from runners. Don't start running at too high of a speed. Some people just jump in and they're like, oh yeah, let's do this, and then they just fade out, right? Start slow pace and then increase your speed or give yourself less time to cover the distance. And this one speaks to me. Breathe consistently and steadily in and out. in and out. It's a very practical thing for runners, right? But I think in the race of life, that speaks to me spiritually as much as it does physically. If all you're doing is breathing out, you're going to faint, right? You're going to be like, just, oh, I'm done. If all you're doing is breathing in, you're not going to get rid of all the carbon dioxide. You're going to become toxic in your body and not have anything to give out because everything that you've brought in is deflated and is done and has had it. So just to throughout your day, if you're looking, if you're feeling hopeless, just say, God, I'm breathing in and God, I'm breathing out. God, I'm giving to people. God, I'm receiving from people. God, I'm doing this and this in one way and this in the another way. The last one, Mark, walk and not faint. What does it mean to faint? You faint because your heart slows down and it pumps less blood to the brain and the brain loses its oxygen. Your vitals are your body temperature. If you're going too high, you've got an infection. If you're going too low, you're starting to freeze, right? You're starting to get hypothermia. Your pulse and your breathing. And it makes me wonder, why does Isaiah say it this way? You should soar, then you should run, then you should walk. For me, if I was telling somebody, I say, you know, take baby steps, right? Start walking, and then start running, and then I won't try soaring, or it's not going to work very well. But I would do it that way, right? I would do it that way. But Isaiah says it the other way. And he says that because you need to see the big picture. And that's what I'm hoping God is going to do by his Spirit this morning, is speak into your heart that you would soar before you leave here this morning. And whatever that is that God has put in your heart, that God has put in your spirit, that maybe you've lost hope for, that God will take that and he'll just have a, oh yeah, that's going to happen. That's going to take place. I'm going to get that job. I'm going to meet that person. I'm going to be in that place. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. My church is going to have revival. This is going to go, and that soaring is going to come into you. And when you have that, that's the easy, that's the energy to go, right? And then you kind of have to walk it out, and you kind of have to run it out, and you kind of have to walk. And it's a little harder to do the walking and the pledging. Okay, now I do it all the time with events at Bethel Connect, right? We're like, oh yeah, this would be a great event, or Sunday morning church. I love doing Sunday morning church, but then I'm like, okay, I got to get the computer ready. Okay, I got to get the chairs ready. I got to get the tablets ready. I got to get the live stream computer ready. I got to get the people ready. And you got to walk it out, right? And then Sunday comes and we get to soar as Esther leads us in worship. And we're like, yeah, that was good to have gone to the house of the Lord. And then Monday morning I go back and okay, let's walk it out again, right? And that's the way life is in the middle of that groaning that Romans talked about, in that middle of that just, oh, it's life, right? But there's hope and keep going forward. And you need to once again just soar. And I think of the illustration of a kite. It's kind of amazing that Isaiah almost says God gives you a kite that's flying in the sky. And you get that kite, that gift, and it's flying. You're like, this is amazing. And then the wind starts to die down a little bit. You're like, uh-oh. And you got to start running a little bit to keep it going. And then it crashes. And you're like, God, I thought you were in this. God, I thought you were doing it. God, I thought it was amazing. It was soaring. Everyone was like, oh, look at that kite. That's amazing. And you've got to walk back to that kite. Follow the string, pick the kite up, get the little short bit so you can catch the breeze again, and then gradually start letting it out. And you've got to get to that place where it soars again. You're like, God, that's where I want to be. God, that's what I want to do. I want to give my life to something that's bigger than who I am and let that soar. But God, in the midst of that, I don't want to just be the person who says, you know what, that's amazing, that's big, that's huge. I want to be the person that runs it out and walks it out too. An illustration that I found in September 1988, Hurricane Gilbert hit the Louisiana coast. At that time, it was considered to be the storm of the century. It battered the shoreline, severely disrupting the shrimping business. Many shrimp boats were lost, causing great concern for several families and dependents on shrimping in their livelihood. And the reporters all came out, and of course, they want to get the great shot, right? So they got the man, and then all the boats and everything wrecked in the background. And this man knew hope, because the reporters said, what are you going to do now? Wasn't this terrible that everything was wrecked? And he said, it's terrible, but I've got hope, because with all those wind and waves, all those shrimp that were on the bottom of the ocean are going to be stirred up. And when we get back out there, we are going to have a harvest. And he knew this principle. I can't see it, but it's there. And in the midst of this disaster, and in the midst of this brokenness, and in the midst of this falling apart, there's something there that I'm going for, and it's in here. I'm not sitting back anymore. I'm going to get my boat fixed. I'm going to get out on that ocean, and there's a great, amazing amount to be grabbed. The challenge with hope is if you can see it, you don't have it. You can't hope to be sitting in that chair this morning if you're sitting in that chair. It has to be something that is inside of you, that's ahead, that you're trusting, that you're looking forward to. What a glimmer of hope is all it takes to get life to keep going on. Where is your hope? In your skill, your talent, in others, your bank accounts, your health? That's all good, but Isaiah says, those that put their hope in the Lord. There's a solid foundation that we can continue to hang on to. And Israel held on to hope while in Egypt for 430 years. Now, to put that in perspective, to see what hope can really do if you hang on to it and you say it's there and I'm going to keep hanging, I don't see it, but I'm going to keep going, is that's 430 years. If you take 40 years as a generation, that's 10 years. If you 10 generations, sorry. If you take 80 years as a generation, that's 5 generations. So that would be my great, 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 great grandparents in the year 1594, sensed and felt and had hope for something in the future that I realized here in 2024. Israel spent 430 years losing hope. Isaiah and the prophets coming to them saying, no, there's hope. There's still hope. It's still ahead of us. It's still coming. Keep looking forward. Keep looking forward. A generation passed away. Keep looking forward. There's freedom. It's coming. We're going to be released from all of this. We're going to be God's chosen people in God's chosen land. Another generation passes away. And that hope continues to keep going and going and going. And God challenges us to hang on to that hope. Look for that glimmer of hope. Israel held on to hope while in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Israel held on to hope looking for the promised Messiah. Israel still hopes and hangs on to hope looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a little bit of the way my practical brain works, and to show you that I'm just as human as you are, and you have to be honest for the next second, okay? How many people here this morning have ever opened the door on the microwave with 1 or 2 seconds left? There you go. They held on for 430 years. I can't even wait 1 or 2 seconds because I know that whatever I have in the microwave is perfect at 1 or 2 seconds before the microwave is done, right? Hope is not something that we do very naturally. We need God to breathe it into us and say, God, take my life. God, give me hope. Bring me to the place where I can keep going ahead with you. Hope for healing. Hope for amended relationship. A job for a relative. Hope is defined as unseen, but it's very, very real. That hope is very real. Job is one of the ones in the Old Testament who suffered more than anyone. And I kind of think it's there to show us that no matter how much suffering you go through, you can still put your hope in Christ. Job lost his, within a matter of weeks, Job lost his children, his land, his houses, his livestock, and his health. And even people around him started saying, Job, just give up. I can't imagine. I don't know that I would survive. I'm not sure that you would survive. But by the grace of God, he did. He would manage to pull through. If you lost all of that, just think of that this morning. If all of your houses was gone, all of your, not your livestock, all of your farm or your livestock, but all of your equipment for your business, all of your everything, your health was gone. People around were you saying, just give up. Just throw it in, throw in the towel. But in the middle of all of it, Job says this, and I'm going to get you to read with me once more. 3, 2, 1, read. What strength do I have left that I should wait and hope? And what is ahead of me that I should be patient and endure? Maybe you've said that. What hope is there? What's left? What's ahead of me? How can I keep going? But Job did keep going. And if we read the rest of the story, that you don't always know in your situation the next part of the story, but he did. And in what was ahead of him was double his possessions. If he had given up, he would have not seen that. He had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters that were ahead of him. We don't have a big enough perspective to see what's ahead. God does in your life and in my life. God has a perspective that we don't have. In the middle of all of that, he had lost all of that. He said, what hope do I have? That's the hope that he had. Jesus, I got nothing. But would you please put something in my heart that brings hope? That maybe this relationship is going to mend. Maybe this relationship is going to heal. God, that you would provide the job. That you would provide the space. God, that our church would flourish. God, that this would go forth. That that would go forth. That, God, I would meet that certain someone that would be the person that I could spend my life with. And God, would you build that hope into my heart and into my life? Lamentations process helps us process emotionally the suffering in the world. And he says this, one person described Lamentations as above the clouds of weeping over sin of his people, God's sun is shining. And that sunshine breaks through in the middle of Lamentations in verse 321. I'm going to get you to read with me once more. He says this, 3, 2, 1, read. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What did he call to mind? You go on and look back at the verse just after it. He says, yet this I call to mind because of the great, yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. And then after that, he says, because of the Lord's great love. Because of the Lord's great love. I've failed. I've succeeded. I've had the best day of my life. Had the worst day of my life. But God, because of your great love, how much God cares and loves for each and every one of us and has a compassion on our hearts. And the whole scripture reads like this. And this, I'm just going to get you to repeat after me. And this is kind of a relationship between God and you, God and me. And I kind of feel a little bit, as I was getting ready and studying, a little bit like the pastor when I do weddings. And I kind of step back and say, okay, repeat your vows after me, right? It's got nothing to do with me, right? If I'm like, okay, listen to me, recite these vows, I'm not doing it right. But if I can fade into the background and let the bride speak to the groom and let the groom speak to the bride, it changes life, changes the world. So if you'd repeat after me as if you're making a vow and you're like, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to say, God, speak into my heart of your love, of your faithfulness, of your goodness. God, build that hope back into my heart. Build that hope back into my life for who you've called me to be and who you've called us to be and what you've called that image of Christ that's stamped on our hearts. God, would you rebirth my spirit like in Romans 8 where he talks about the law? God, I feel like I have to do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. God, would you please change my spirit, my heart where I want to do it? God, I want to go after you. God, I want to say, God, these are the things that are righteous, that are pure, that are noble, that are worthy of speaking of, that are of a good report, and I want to go after those. One last illustration here this morning that I came across as I was kind of getting ready, but Vasco da Gama is a name I had never heard of, but maybe you have heard of him. In the Middle Ages, the sea route to India from Europe had never been completed. They'd try to get around that southern tip of Africa, and it would constantly, the ships would get wrecked and the waves and the weathers, and it just didn't work. They often discussed it in Europe. They wondered whether a route would ever make it across that to the land of the rich spices, and many had tried and failed, and that tip of Africa, I didn't know this, but it used to be called the Cape of Storms. And then an explorer named Vasco da Gama had hope and decided, I'm going to try. And once he tried, he was succeeded and he was successful. After that, you could never doubt again whether it could be done. And the Cape of Storms was eventually renamed to what we know it of today. I see some of you shaking your heads. You know the story more than I do. To the Cape of Hope. It's leaving us with hope. Jesus has done that with death. The treacherous route has been transformed. No one ever came back. Then Jesus suffered and died and went through and came and rose victorious. The Bible says he was the first fruits, leaving us hope to follow. Psalms 23 is often quoted at funerals. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me as you go." And maybe you've lost someone in the last week or the last year, or you've lost this person or that person, and the hope of a future, the hope of God, one day we'll be together in heaven. One day we'll be, there'll be no more sickness, no more death, no more dying. And the hope has transformed the storms of life, the Cape of Storms in our life, into the Cape of Hopes. He's conquered death and grave. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" And like Isaiah the prophet speaks to us again today, those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And we can go forward and say, "God, I put my hope in you this morning." And I find it interesting as I'm kind of closing here this morning, but I find it interesting how God kind of brings things along your path when you're kind of getting ready to speak or you're getting ready to lead in worship or you're getting ready to do this or something else. And kind of like, oh, that kind of ties in or that kind of ties in. I was kind of debating back and forth between speaking on kind and speaking on hope. And Todd kept coming into my office and giving me messages, "Choose hope. Kindness is hope," whatever, right? And a couple things on the radio, I heard them talking about hope. So that kind of pushed me over this way a little bit to speaking on hope this morning. But I'd say an acquaintance, and it's great that we have history, it's great that we have the Bible, but to know that this works today, I love hearing stories from people today. And I have an acquaintance, I know his family much better than I know him, and he posted his testimony on Facebook, and I read it, and I'm like, oh, that just speaks hope into what I'm speaking on Sunday. And so I messaged him and whatever, and he would know who I am, I would know who he is, but we wouldn't know each other really, really well, and said, you know, can I use some of that on Sunday? Can I quote you? Can I share some of your testimony? He's like, yeah, go ahead. And he's like, if anyone is in the situation that I am and they want somebody to talk to, please tell them to come to me, and I'm more than willing to give you his name. And he said, I'd be more than willing to talk to people. But a spark of hope, and this is his testimony that happened in a very recent last couple of years where hope changed his entire life. I quote, "I tried to take my life. I was in constant state of misery and anxiety and depression. I just wanted it to end. And thought that was the only way it would. But by God's grace, I was unsuccessful. A few more years of just hanging on, and God delivered me from my misery. He left the 99 sheep to find this lost one. I started going back to church, started reading my Bible every day, and started watching The Chosen. I started letting God's word determine the reality I live in instead of my selfish desire of what reality should be. What I would say to others is, don't give up. There's a better life. Stay in the fight. Keep the hope. There's something ahead. If you're in the middle of something, don't just hope. Keep going. Keep going. God is real. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Surrender. Complete surrender to God. And I asked him if I could share as part of that. He had quite a long testimony. I kind of abbreviated it and sent it to him and said, are you fine if I read this publicly? And he said, yeah, that's sure. So you might be watching online today, or you might be watching online at a different time, and you might have come to that place where you're like, no hope, Carter. Like, there's no hope. There's no hope. Jesus is real. Jesus speaks into your heart. That testimony tells us that God spoke, and it was a pastor in one of our POC churches that he spoke to, and his life was changed and turned around and brought hope into it. And it wasn't a very good sermon because I didn't have 3 points, right? And you're like, well, is he done? Is he done? Is he not done? But if I had 3 points, they'd be the 3 scriptures that I read. So he's going to pull these up on the screen once more, and we're just going to read them all one together, right together one last time. So starting at the beginning, and we won't read the reference, the Romans 8:24, but we'll just read the scriptures down. So 3, 2, 1, read. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Yet this I call to mind, because of the Lord's great love, I have hope. As we finish off this morning, and we just kind of say, God, I can't do it. There's times in my life where I've needed hope, and people can encourage you, people can lift you up, people can speak into your life, and you can read their stories, and you can be like, that's very inspirational. But the hope I'm speaking of this morning is a hope that comes inside your heart, inside your life, that comes from God, that comes from the Spirit of God, that's a glimmer of hope that's just in there. And like Israel for 430 years, when I started doing the math as if that was my great-great-great-great-great-grandpa who had hope for something in the future back from 1594, I was like, that's God. That's not, those generations passed away, but that thing was still there. It was still growing. It was still waiting for that time to come to pass, to come to truth. So I'm going to close off in prayer in just a few seconds today. And the challenge is to keep that spark of hope alive. And after I pray, I'm going to dismiss you, and they're going to play a video, because I don't really want to go sing a song afterwards again. But if you're here this morning and you need God to speak into your heart, I pray that he's spoken into your heart by his Spirit this morning already. But if you need to spend some time and just kind of stay where you are and listen to that song, it's just In Christ Alone. And the words at the end of it, I didn't bring it. Oh, I did bring it. It says this. It says, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid rock, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fear are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in this love of Christ I stand. And it ends with these words, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. So just take a moment and bow your heads and close your eyes. And as we close in prayer, just say, God, my desire is, I'll talk to you right after. I'll just pray that God will just touch into your heart, touch into your life, and that the hope of Christ will speak into who you are. So God, this morning we just come into this place once again. And Father, we understand that you are the real deal. And God, we understand that, God, we saw hope, Lord Jesus. Father, it's something that we haven't seen. So God, there's nobody here this morning that's going to receive that hope, that's going to get something physical to take with them. But God, there's something very real about the hope of the Lord, about renewing our strength and putting our hope in God and soaring with the eagles and walking and running it out. So Father, we just give you the honor. We give you the glory. And God, if there's people here this morning that this has just resonated with their heart and with their spirit, God, I can't do it, but God, you're Holy Spirit can. And Father, as people wait on you this morning, God, may that hope be renewed. God, may they see that vision of that kite flying in the air and say, God, this is what it can be. This is what it will be. This is where I'm headed towards. And God, give them the strength just to walk it out and to continue to walk in their faith. So Father, we give you once again the honor and the glory. And as we leave this place, may you just go with us and keep us safe. Give us your presence with us as we're blessed and filled with wisdom throughout this day. Father, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please head over to bethelbrandon.ca to listen to our older messages or maybe connect with us and figure out how we can best serve you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.